The book of Colossians tonight. Good to see you in the Lord's house. Appreciate, as the pastor's already said, appreciate the good number here tonight. Colossians chapter number 1, please. I'll try to hurry along as quickly as I can. Colossians chapter number 1. Let's stand together, please. Starting with verse number 1. Colossians 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Father, help us these few minutes as we preach the Word of God, and thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Brother Mast, his dear wife, his family, his faithfulness for many years. I thank you for this church and the people here. I pray that you'd empower me to preach the Word of God. Help it to go into our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse number 9. You know, when you read through these verses that I've just read to you tonight, you think, my goodness, what a wonderful church. Paul has so many good things to say about them. But I was reading through this one day, and the Lord spoke to my heart about verse number 9. And Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And that spoke to my heart. And so I want to preach to you tonight on people that pull us to prayer. People that draw us to find a place to pray for them. People that get on our hearts and that trouble us. These are, you would have to say amen to what I'm about to say, but I've never seen a day like we're living in this day. I've never heard of things like we're hearing about in this day. And if you would have told me back when I first got saved in 1975 that I would be still here serving God in these days, in the year 2022, and living in our nation that has turned so far from God, and seeing the things that we see today, I would have never believed it. Up until a few years ago, I would come mount the pulpit and want to try my best to preach or say things to try to get our people to get their minds on, hey, we're in the house of God and we ought to be smiling and shouting and rejoicing and right. and really we ought to be. But it dawned on me one day, I got to just praying, and I'm sure your pastors like me and many other pastors, and when I pray for my people, I know where everybody sits in the church. And so I can start, you know, on either side, and I can work my way back and come around the pews, and I see where every child sits, every family, and I'm praying for them. And it dawned on me one day while I was praying for them about all the severe situations that were in people's lives. And when I got to thinking about it, I thought, no wonder people are under such a load in these days. And so I got to reading here what Paul was saying about this church. And in verse number 9, do not cease to pray for you. And I thought, Paul, you speak of so many good things about this church and this people. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm like, why don't you find some people that are in worse shape to pray for? But Paul is praying for this church. And so I got to thinking about this message about people, and I'm like that also. I get troubled for people, severe circumstances in people's lives, and I've even gone in the auditorium and locked the door, and I've sat where some of those people sat, and I've sat in the very place on the pew and prayed for them, for those situations, because they were things that caused me to lose sleep during the night, and I was troubled over them. And so when Paul says that, he says in verse 9, for this cause we also. And that stands out to me because in this day, we seem like we have lost all cause anymore. You know, David said to his brethren, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? If you all you big brethren and all you great warriors want to flee from Goliath, there's this giant Philistine is out here blaspheming our God. And he's causing shame upon Israel. And he's blaspheming the name of our God. And so David said, is there not a cause for somebody to fight Goliath? And you know, if we lose our cause, we've lost everything. We lose our homes and simple little game of tug of war when I was a kid. And we had this old boy in elementary school. His name was Albert, and he was hefty. And I'm not bringing any embarrassment. We just called him Fight Albert. And when it come to tug of war, I wanted Fight Albert on my team, and I wanted him on the end of the rope, and he could tie that thing around his waist. And just tie a knot in it and just stand there. And we'd win every time. Nobody could pull him. We have a cause in this day. A cause that we need to get anchored in things that God wants us to be anchored on. Our families are worth fighting for. Isn't that what Nehemiah said? I think chapter 4, is that not what he was encouraging the workers? Now don't get weary because of all the rubbish. We've got a cause to get on the wall and build the wall. And they got to where they'd hold a sword with one hand and a trowel with the other hand and work and be ready to fight at the same time. And you know, a lot of times when all these heartaches and pastors fretting over their churches and people fretting over the economy and so many of our young people are making wrong choices and sons and daughters and turning the wrong way and we're grieved over so many things and what's going on politically and economically and spiritually in our nation and whether anybody wants to talk about it or not, these are fearful times. These are fearful times. So Paul was saying, you know, rather than turning to fret and depression and living off of Valium, and I'm not making fun of anybody's situation, but rather than turning to pills and curling up in the bed and giving up and quitting and just saying, oh, my kids, they're gone and everything is happening. We might as well lock up the church and quit, and people are drifting off, and we've got a cause. Amen. Our cause goes back to Calvary. Our cause is Jesus Christ. The gospel is a cause. Amen. Preaching still works in America. Amen. And so Paul says, you know what? Has anybody ever thought about praying? Have we ever thought about praying? And you know, prayer, I've got scripture for all this, but I'm just, sake of time, I'm going to run through it. I preached too long last night, but I could have gone another 30 minutes, but you know, he's a hard man to bargain with. I just, you know, listen, but prayer is the breath of Christian living. It's the breath of it. Prayer is a cry for help. Amen. You ever got down and didn't know what to say? And all I just said is, Lord, help me. And God, I need your help. And Lord, I don't know how to put it in words, but I just need you to help me. And just help me, Lord, and help me. And sometimes I just didn't have much of variety in my vocabulary when I was praying other than help, help, help me, Lord, just help me. And it's a cry for help. Prayer is a source of protection. That's right. Prayer is an act of faith for healing in James chapter number 5. Prayer is a cry for guidance, Jeremiah 33:3. Prayer is a response in salvation. Prayer is a communication of gratitude and worship. Amen. Prayer reveals man's inability, that we can't do it. I don't know how to build a church. I don't know how to keep people staying at the church. I can't save anybody. Neither can you. It takes God. Amen. Prayer is a petition for a higher power. I'm glad I've got a higher power. I'm glad I know a higher power. There are people that cause a heaviness. Have you ever thought about, I'm going to mention a few people and I'm going to sit down. But have you ever thought about people that we need to pray for, that pull us to pray? Amen. Have you ever thought about people that are living for God? You said, preacher, they don't need prayer. Oh, yes, they do. If they're living for God. I mean, I've been up here a few different times over a period of a few years. And I still look around and see some familiar faces. I think, well, there's Matt and his family, and they're still here. He don't need no prayer. He's still here. Oh, yes, he does. He needs prayer. Yeah, he needs prayer. And what about your preacher? He's still here. So he's running well. Everything's good with him. So we don't need to pray for him. And you just look around and see people that they're carrying the same Bible. They're still showing up every time the doors open. Why pray for them? But when Paul comes through here in Colossians chapter number one, he's mentioning all these good characteristics of this church and these people. And he says, for this cause, he said, I cease not to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge. Have you ever come, I don't know, you know, at our church, we'll take a prayer request on Wednesday nights, and we'll have a prayer time before the Sunday night service, and the ladies go back in the back of the building, the men stay out here, and so we do this thing about taking a prayer request. Have you ever listened to prayer requests? It's all operations and sicknesses and COVIDs and tooth infections and ingrown toenails and just everything. Everything. It's all health issues. And I'm not being negative about that. We need to pray about that. And then maybe next to that, every once in a while, you might hear a prayer request about a sinner, a lost sinner. But here's Paul and some of his prayer requests. And he's saying, I want to pray for you. He said, I want to pray that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Can you imagine somebody standing up on Wednesday night and you've done heard about 14 prayer requests about surgeries and cancers and somebody stands up and says, preacher, I think we need to pray for our church that each one of us be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom. Well, I'd just fall over and pass out if I was to hear one like that. You know, that would just tell me somebody's being a little more spiritual than the average person thinks. But that's a good prayer request. Yeah. That we be filled with wisdom of the knowledge of His will. Because the will of God is our utmost important thing in a believer's life, is to be in the will of God. Go to the right church. Work the right job. Amen. Live in the right house. Drive the right vehicle. Amen. Yeah, that's right. And you ought to pray over your finances. Be in the will of God over your finances. Marry the right mate. There's been so many preachers that I've seen young people just going on fire for God. And I had a pastor call me a few months ago and was sobbing. He was upset. And he was talking about his son, and his son was like a right arm to him in the church, and he married a girl, and he said, preacher, everything seemed to be right, and all of a sudden, everything has turned out in left field and gone downhill, and I told him, I said, brother, I said, when they turn adults, you can't change them. What do we do as parents like that? You can't fix them after they turn adults. When they're 5 years old, you can grab them by the nape of the neck and just jerk them around. But when they're 18 and 20 and 25 and 30 years old and sometimes married off, you can't do that. But I know what you can do. You can get a hold of the throne of grace and you can pray for them. Amen. You can pray. So we need to pray for people. Verse number 2. He mentions them. He calls them faithful brethren. He says, I want to pray for you. In verse number 4, he says, I've heard of your faith. Verse number 6, he talks about bringeth forth fruit. Verse number 10, the Bible says, verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. He's praying for these things for them. So people that are living for God, man, I get to thinking about people, I'm, you know, our church, we might sit comfortably in our church. We could sit 150 on the main floor. We've got a loft up there. They put up there when they built the building. Could be a balcony someday, but we've never really needed it. And you know, so, you know, I might, you know, at the very best, if everybody comes and nothing else happens, you know, I'll have, you know, a little less than 50. I'll have 48 if everybody's there. And so I don't have, but I've seen multitudes come through. The young people, over 35 years, I've seen everybody. Hey, if they was all there now, I'd have to get the Tennessee football stadium to hold church in. They've come and gone and turned left field and gone out into sin, and parents have made wrong decisions. I had a mom and daddy got miffed about something somebody said, had three teenage daughters that were lost without God and just quit church. I just like wanted to get that, you know, that big old wooden mallet I was talking about yesterday. I want to flail that daddy upside the head with that thing. That's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Don't do that. We need to pray for people. But I get to thinking about all these pastors I've seen fallen. And I say this respectfully because I realize that it could be me tomorrow. So I'm not being cocky and I'm not being boastful. I fear God. And I'm also aware of the powers of Satan. But I want to tell you something. When I've heard all these good families and deacons and all these precious young people that have shipwrecked, I get to thinking, if things would have been different if I had prayed for them when they were doing so good. Yeah. Number two, what about people that are leaving God? We need to pray for them. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. People that are leaving God. Those disciples that turned in John chapter 6 and verse 66 and walked away. Jesus looked at those 12 disciples. Are you going to leave too? Can I ask you a question? Are you meditating that? Are you meditating that? Are you thinking about that? Is that kind of down in the bottom drawer of your heart? You're kind of thinking about that. You've got a sister off here at one of these no-name churches somewhere, and they're pulling on you a little bit to leave the old paths, Baptist church, and to get away from the straight line preaching and get out here and get off in the charismatic way and contemporary way. There's not a contemporary salvation. No, there's only one Jesus. There's only one gospel. There's only one Holy Ghost. There's only one Bible. This old King James Bible. Amen. There's only one. But the world's throwing all this perverted stuff, and you're going to mess up, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. Elimelech made a wrong turn. He made a wrong turn. He had no reason to leave Bethlehem, Judah. He had no reason to go down in Moab. When Naomi came back, you know what she said? She said, when we went out full. The cupboards was full. They said it was famine time, but she said it wasn't famine time in our kitchen. God was taking care of us. But she was married to a man that said, I think we need to go to Moab. No, you don't. Boy, we need to pray for men. Men, we need to pray for each other that we be strong. Ladies, we need to pray for each other. People that are leaving God, we need to pray for them. And that ought to be a burden on our heart, along with people that are living for God. But what about the people that are lost without God? Oh, my goodness. The Lord saved me March 16th, 1975. It's not important that you remember the day. You just need to remember that you had an encounter with God one day and He saved you. Right. Amen. Amen. Amen? That's right. Can I say this? I'm glad I got saved when I got saved. Amen. That's right. And I wouldn't want to be lost in this day today. But I'm glad for one thing, if you are lost, God is still willing to save.
Amen.
And wants to save and can save. Amen. If you'll humble your heart and come to Him, He'll save your soul. And I'm glad for that. Man, when I got saved, listen, it was a normal thing every Sunday to see somebody get saved. And if we missed a Sunday seeing somebody get saved, it wouldn't go long and we'd see some more get saved. When I got saved, my folks had been praying for me. I made a little profession. Somebody took me and led me through a prayer when I was 9 years old. I grew up in the teenage years and the fruition of Christ was not manifest in my life, but the fruition of sin. Then when I got under the sound of powerful preaching, the Spirit of God started dealing with me, showed me that I was lost. And that Sunday morning, you can say whatever you want to, but I've been struggling with conviction. Y'all believe in all Holy Ghost conviction? It takes that to get saved. You can go down to Walmart and get up on the bed of a pickup truck and said, everybody that wants to get saved, line up here at the tailgate of my truck. You're not going to get a crowd. You're not going to get a crowd. They don't want to be saved. It takes God to make a sinner want to be saved. And they got to want to be saved to ever get saved. Amen. Y'all okay with that? It takes God. You can talk all day long to their head. But it takes God to move it from here to here. Amen. That's right. So God did that for me that morning. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, I plowed out of the pew and I came down the center aisle and I fell right there on this side of the pulpit. And I cried out to God and He heard my prayer and He saved my soul. And I got up and the preacher said, all right, everybody stay where you're at. There were several that come. He said, don't go back. Line up along the front here. And I stood right over there. My mama was right back in the back on that side. They'd been praying for me. I was 19 years old. And I was living in sin. And he said, a preacher had a boom. He said, who all got saved here today? You would think he's mad about it. Who all got saved here today? And buddy, I raised my hand up and talked. And as soon as I did, I heard a commotion right back there. And it was my mama. And she come out of that pew and come down that aisle right there. And I was a lot taller than her. And she rung up and put a half Nelson around my neck. And she pulled me down. And she said, Ronnie, I've been a-praying for you.
Amen.
And that rim of her glasses went up in my cheekbone. And she was hugging on me and crying and said, I've been a-praying for you.
That's right. That's good.
Did you hear what I said? She said, I've been praying for you. And you know why I got saved? Because I had a daddy and a mama that prayed for me. You say, my kids won't even listen to me talk to them about the right way. You can pray for them. You say, you don't understand where my daughter's at. You can pray for them. God knows where they're at. God knows where they're at. He can go to where they're at. They may not want you to call them. They may not want you to invite them to church, but I know a God that can change their mind. That's right. He can change their mind. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Man, I'm going to tell you, we don't see a lot of people get saved. And I say that with shame. I say that. I want to see a bunch of people get saved. We've been praying for a young man in our church. And we've been praying for him for some time. Seemed like the more we prayed, the harder he got. The harder. In fact, he's the same age as me. He's not, he'll be 20 in December. He'll be 20. He's 19. He'll be 20. What did I say wrong?
Amen.
The same age as I was. Yeah. I'm 25 now. He called me. My cell phone rang. I was going up Highway 11 heading home. And he called me a couple of weeks ago. And I seen his name come up. I thought, that's unusual. And I answered it. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "you got a minute?" I could tell by the tone of his voice something was wrong or something was right. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm just driving. I'm coming up Highway 11. He said, I wanted to tell you something. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Preacher, I got saved."
Amen.
I said, "Wonderful. Wonderful." He said, "Preacher, I was with your grandson, my oldest grandson. And my grandson been saved. And they've been out with one of them side-by-side things. You know them things you ride?" Yeah. And they got it in the mud and was going to go wash it off. And he's going up the road. And I don't know the exact detail. But Nate pulled off and dropped his head. And he said, "Michael, I don't know why, but it's come strong on me to witness to you right now and to tell you about how I got saved." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I didn't hear nothing Nate said." He said, "God got in the cab of that truck." And he said, "I dropped my head. And I told God that I'd struggled with everything I knew to struggle with. And if He'd just take me as I am, that I'd be willing to be saved." And he said, "When I said that, peace came in my heart. And He saved me, preacher. He saved me." That completed all the children in that man's family. And you know why that boy got saved? Because some people prayed for him. Do you have anybody in your heart that makes you heavy tonight? Do you know what that heaviness is? Preacher, do you know what that heaviness is? That's a pull from God to pray for them. I'm done preaching.